The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Are you ready for the word of God? So we started something the last time I was here, that was last Sunday, on sonship rights and responsibilities. And I tried to show you that we are sons of God. We are sons of God. One of the greatest realities of the new creation is the fact that we are sons of God. Something I said that day, everybody is not a son of God. People say things like, once you are created by God, you are his child. That is actually not very correct. Okay, once you are created by God, you are a creation of God. And God loves you unconditionally. But it takes being saved to become his child. Salvation is what makes you a child of God. I say it again. Salvation is what makes you a child of God. And so you find out that we became sons by the resurrection of Jesus. We became his sons. Okay, when Jesus died and rose again, one of the most beautiful things that happened was that we became his children. You realize that, like I said last week, before the coming of Jesus, nobody ever had the audacity to call God Father. Nobody had that boldness. Elijah didn't have the boldness. Abraham didn't have the boldness. David didn't have the boldness. Did God want to be their father? Yes. Were they able to call God Father? No. Because it was in the death and resurrection of Christ that God became a father. And so when Jesus came to the earth, he began to call God Father. You know, I was saying, telling you guys last week, you know, why do you think they wanted to kill Jesus? They wanted to kill Jesus because he said God was his father. That's, I think, John 10 verse 30. He said, I am my father, one. They picked up stones to kill him. And he asked them, I've worked many miracles here. For which of them do you want to stone me? They said, for not, we don't want to kill you for the miracles. We want to kill you because you said, you being man, make it yourself God. He actually said God was his father. And so, it was blasphemy to them. But the beautiful thing is, when he now died and rose again, in John 20 verse 17, he now met Mary and told Mary, no, I'm just doing a recap of what we did the last time. He met Mary and told Mary, go to my father. He said, I'm going to my father rather, and your father. In that, look at it. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my father, but go to my brethren and son to them. I ascend unto my father and your father. So he no longer refers to God as his father alone. He now brings you into the picture. Hebrew 2 verse 10 will say he wanted to bring many sons to glory. So when Jesus died, one of the things he achieved is that we became sons of God. And I told you guys first service, the boldest anyone can get is to say that God is his father. That's very daring. Now I told you guys, the God they call omnipotent, they call fire, they call everything, they call him, that God is my dad. And it's a beautiful reality. Amen. The God they call, whatever they call him, the Jehovah that does that. And you know, they say all those things so that we can become afraid of God. That God is actually my father. And it's a beautiful reality to be a child of God. It's a beautiful reality to call God your father, to be a son and a son of God. So I'm a child of God. Once again, you know, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called. So how did God show his love towards us? By making us his sons. So does God love you? How did he prove that he loves you? He made me his son. So I'm a child of God. Say it again. Why are you a child of God? Not because God created you. You're a child of God because you have put your faith in the sacrifice of Jesus. People don't realize, I don't know why God is leading me to flow in this direction. People don't realize that it is very easy to be a child of God. People don't realize it is very easy to become born again. You know, they've told you that before you become born again, what you have to do is, number one, repent from your sin. Right? Number two, confess it. Number three, forsake it. And then turn around and then you now come to God. You know, I say this jokingly. If I could repent from my sin, confess it, and turn away from it, I don't need God. Did you get what I said? If you could do all those things, if you could do all those things, the reason you need God is because you cannot do them. So being born again, the Bible says it is to put your faith in the sacrifice of Jesus. Once you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again for your sake, at that moment you become a child of God. Nothing more. Nothing more. And it becomes so easy that it begins to trouble the religious mind. So that's easy. Just by, you know, the way Romans 10 verse 9 will say, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, say you shall be saved. That's easy. Yes, it is that easy. So you walked in here and you feel, I'm not even born again. I don't think I'm born again. I don't think I'm a child of God. I'm telling you, as you're listening to me this morning, and you already accept and agree and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and then God raised him from the dead for your sins, and you believe that by that death and resurrection that your sins have been forgiven, you're a child of God. And it's as simple as that. It's not, there are no truths about it. That you believe, you know, the Bible, Acts chapter 13 verse 38. Put up NLT. Acts 13 verse 38. Let me show you. Acts 13 verse 38. I've shifted from this message a little, but then I sense what God is doing. He said, brothers, listen. We are here to proclaim that through this man, Jesus, there is what? So what is it that the apostles went around announcing to people? That through Jesus, there is forgiveness of sins. And so once you just believe that by his death and resurrection, that your sins are forgiven, you become a child of God. Look at the next verse, verse 39. Everyone who believes in him is declared right with God. Something the law of Moses could never do. So what does it take to be declared right with God? Say, before you become right with God, you have to do this. You have to stop wearing trousers. Stop wearing earring. Stop wearing attachment. What else? Stop making up. Why is it always against women? Say something about the guys. Yeah. So jean trouser and don't come on beards. No, dear. Just if you're gonna watch the ball, it's okay. Just choose the clubs you find. Yeah. Don't cause fights in this church. So let's pretend like we didn't hear you. But so you realize those things are not the steps. Everyone who believes in him is declared right with God. How many of us have put our faith in what Jesus did on the cross? You are declared right with God. When people say, are you righteous? We say, but the Bible said, no one is righteous. Yes. But no one is righteous. Jesus is righteous. That is righteousness he imputed into me. Don't you understand? He says, is that one in the Bible? Yes. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's walk with NLT. We're going to read this from the screen, and it's going to bless us tremendously this morning. Hallelujah. This means, look at the screen, that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Say, I'm a new person. Say it again. He said, the old life is gone. A new life has begun. A new life has begun. Verse 18, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. I'm going to come to this verse today. Verse 19, for God, I like this, for God was in Christ. Look at what God did in Christ. Reconciling to himself. No longer. So can you put your name there? Where we see people. So let's read it again. For God was in Christ, reconciling me. What's your name again? Okay, so let's go again. For God was in Christ, reconciling Henry to himself, no longer counting Henry's sin against him. So God isn't counting your sin against you anymore. The day you put your faith in what he has done, he clears. That's what I was singing just a few minutes ago. You know, the song, the choir, the very powerful song. You need to know these things. The day you believe in Jesus, a new story has begun. I must know it. He said, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Look at verse 20. For so we are Christ's ambassadors, God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God. Verse 21, everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through him. Hallelujah. So people argue, you know, how does it, it's very difficult to be righteous. Let me tell you as how easy or difficult it is to be righteous. A man, God actually, never sinned. You know, right? And then suddenly, sin was put to his account. You know, Jesus never sinned, but he was made sin. Right? That same way Jesus never sinned, but was made sin. Another man who has never committed righteousness just put his faith in him. So it's a divine exchange. He takes our sin nature. He gives us his righteousness. So today we can say we are righteous in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And these facts I'm explaining to you is what salvation means. That's what it means to be born again. And this singular fact has made us sons of God. Has made us children of God. So to be a child of God is not one heckling tax like that. It's very easy. The day you put your faith in what he has done, he makes you his own. And you know the amazing thing? Nobody has told you. Once he makes you his own, he will never reject you. As in, take it to the bank. He will never. He will never. He says, so what if I run away from his hand? Are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? Have you ever taken care of a baby before? Have you? In taking care of a baby, who makes sure that the baby doesn't swallow spoon? You know children are interested. Who makes sure he doesn't swallow remote? Now, if the baby swallows stone, who will they blame? The baby or you? You is the mother. If you guys want to cross the road, even where's Engina? Even as Engina is now, if you guys want to cross the road, you want to cross the road with him, will you just leave him, say, walk? If a car hits him, you killed him. Because you are responsible for that child. So when you become a child of God, God is responsible for you. So you say, what if I run away from him? He won't let you run. He's a responsible father. And so that moment you feel God left you or that you left God, he never left. You are still his son. Glory to God. Say, I am a child of God. Say, I am a child of God. Glory to God. So we can be made right with God through Christ. You know, in Romans chapter 8 verse 15. Quickly, Romans 8 verse 15. Hallelujah. So you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. And I told you guys in the first service, Abba Father is like, it's a pet name. It's just like saying we can call God Daddy Daddy. I get the point. That's a picture. We can call God Daddy-o. And how dare you talk about God like that? You don't realize that, you know, I was saying that last week. You don't realize that you can be having a conference meeting, whatever kind of meeting, with the president and everybody's seated, His Excellency, sir, and then the child walks through the door. I want to see my dad. Everybody allows him. He goes in, sees him. I don't get the point. Because whatever that person is, the president, to that child, his father. God can be God to everybody, but he is father to me. I get the point. I'm no longer a slave to sin.
I am a child of God.
See, I'm no longer.
I'm no longer a slave to sin.
I'm a child of God.
I am a child of God.
You unravel me.
You unravel me.
Yeah.
With a melody.
realities that mortal man can call God Father. So you see, we are God's children, and this God is my Father. How many of you know this? God is my Father. So I call him that. That's why it changes your prayer life. You see, when he got to the tomb of Lazarus to pray, he said, Father, I thank you because you hear me always. It changes your prayer. I'm saying last service. It changes your prayer life. Say, Father, I know you hear me. Sometimes when we come to pray, we think we are praying to God. Baba who, whatever that means. Amen. The next time you come to a place of prayer, once you say pray, you are talking to Father, who will never turn you down. He says, can a child ask of bread from the Father and he will give him stone? Can he ask of fish and he will give him snake? He said, if you then being evil, he said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give to those that ask him? What he's saying in essence is, God is a better father than your father. And if your father has been paying your school fees till now, or maybe he's not even paying, but he's a better father than him. Whatever thing you think your dad has done for you, God fathers better than that. And so you are God's child. So we're looking at all this last week. So today I want to focus somewhere. Go back to Romans 8 verse 15. Let's call it again. Romans 8 15. They said we can call God Abba Father. Go back to NLT. We can call him Abba Father. Like verse 16. Next verse. He said, for his spirit joins with our spirits to affirm that we are God's children. The way King James would put it, he says, the spirit bears witness with our spirit. So anytime the spirit of God bears witness, what does he affirm? That you're a child of God. Anything that tells you're not God's child is not the spirit of God. The witness of the spirit in our hearts is that we are children of God. Hallelujah. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. He said, in fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. Hallelujah. He now talked about suffering. I'm coming to this second part shortly. Now, you're a child of God, right? You're a child of God. Settle it to your heart. So last week we were looking at rights of a child of God. We saw all of these rights to a good life. We have rights to good health and what have you. We touched all that. This message is available. You should get it. You listen to it. It will bless you. Today I will come to the second part of this teaching, which is responsibility of sonship. Because you realize that when you are born into a family, you have some rights. Okay? For instance, if your father has a very big company, you have a right. You have a right to eat, first of all, in the family. You have a right to whatever thing in the family. But you also have certain responsibilities that you must carry out in the family. It's only an irresponsible child that concerns himself with only what the father has. I will not think of how to be of help in the family. And so today I'm going to show you the second part, which is being responsible as a child of God. One of the things, you know, part of what we share in this father-son relationship is responsibility. There are things, for instance, Jesus will talk about it in John chapter 5 verse 17. He said, my father walketh. He said, hitherto I must walk. Because Jesus is saying, because my father is walking, the son must also be walking. So as a child of God, you share in his responsibility. You share in his walk. So apart from sharing his glory, apart from sharing his life, apart from sharing in his righteousness, you know, we share all these things with him, apart from sharing in his power, we also share in his responsibility. Jesus answered them, my father walketh, he that do and I walk. Probably like another translation, in a translation, NLT said, my father is always working and so am I. And Jesus sets an example for us here, that once the father is working, the son must join in the walk. And that's a sign of responsibility. So today I'm going to challenge you with your responsibilities as a son of God. We've looked at our rights and privileges, but there are responsibilities too. Amplified said, Jesus answered them, my father has walked even until now. He has never ceased walking. He's still walking. I too must be at divine work. Because he's always walking, I should be walking too. So if the father is always walking, the son or the sons or the children must also be working. So I bring it to your family house. If your father is working, you must be working too. You know, and one of the ways, you know, one of the ways to be responsible in a home, and I'm going to start with that, is to get involved in whatever work your dad is doing. Whatever work, I give an example with farm work. If your father has a very large farmland, you notice when you begin to grow to a certain age, they expect you to start going to the farm with them, right? They expect you to start cultivating. If your father has a very big company, at a certain age, they expect you to start following them to work, to start learning some of the things that goes on in the company. And that's how to be responsible. And you must do that. But amazingly, a lot of Christians, what we actually prefer is to remain children forever. You know, a child has no responsibility. The only responsibility he has is to suck breast first, to cry second, and to scatter things in the house. And it's fine. At that point, he's crying. And then it gets to a point that I told you in the first service, his only job is to be shitting all over the place, everywhere. And the people, the mother is even happy. You get the point? The mother is excited. At that point, he can just be there. Do you know many believers want to remain at that point forever? Where they're always calling you, so you will not come to church today. No, leave her. So you won't be in church today? Won't you come around today? Please, now, you want us to follow. You always want to be a child forever. But once maturity begins to come, there's an age the child will now get to. They now expect him to begin to do some other things. They can now expect him to begin to wash plates. They want him to now start cooking. Because it is part of his responsibility as a son. He is not in that family as a plate washer. Neither is he in the family as a cook. He's in the family as a son. But because he is a son, he now has a responsibility in the family. Are you getting the point? And that's the thing about sonship. So I'm going to show you briefly what work is God doing. And I'll show you the work of God, and I'll show you that you must take part in it. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. So what does God want to do on earth? What has God been doing on earth all the while? I can tell you in a very simple way. People say, what is God doing? He's changing, he's electing president. No. God has only one work he's doing. There's one work God wants to do. He says, who has saved us? Put up an NLT. Because of our time. He said, for God saved us. How many of us are saved? For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time. To show his grace through Christ Jesus. So what is God's plan before the beginning of time? To show his grace. In one word, salvation. So the salvation of man has always been God's ultimate plan. So if I ask you, what does God want to do today? He wants to save man. What does God want to do in the next 5 years? He wants to save man. What has God been doing for the past 50 years? He's been saving man. God's plan, God's ultimate eternal plan, it's the salvation of man. Don't miss what I'm sharing with you this morning. God's ultimate plan is the salvation of man. What God wants to do is that he wants to save men. He wants to save them from the pit of hell to the kingdom of light. That is that's the same reason that Jesus died. That's the same reason Jesus died. That's the same reason he died. That's the same reason God exists. And I will show you guys, you know, even from Genesis 1, that's been God's plan. He said this was his plan from before the beginning of time. So even before time began, what this means is, even before creation in Genesis 1, this has been God's plan. How many of you know God did not start in Genesis 1? You know, right? Do you know God did not begin in Genesis 1? Do you know? Uh-huh. So even before Genesis 1, before he created heaven and earth, he already had a vision. The vision was the salvation of man. Friends, listen to me. So God has a plan. So what is the work of God? To save man. 2 Peter 3 verse 9, we refer to it as the will of God. He says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So what is God's will in one word? Salvation. Look at it. 2 Peter 3 verse 9. He said the Lord isn't really slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed. He wants everyone. So what God wants is for all men to be saved. So the work of God in one word is salvation. God wants men saved. And so if you're a child of God, your primary responsibility is to commit to the same work your father is doing, which is the salvation of men. That's why when we tell people to go preach the gospel, they think we are trying to give them one heckler and tax, or they think, me preach, it's pastor's thing. No, it is sonship thing. The fact that you are a child of God, listen to me, friends, has given you a responsibility to join the work your dad is doing. And what work is your dad doing? Your dad is saving men. So when you see some of us carry our Bible, are preaching to people, it's not because I'm a pastor. I started preaching. I got born again on 30th. That's the day I became aware that I was born again. Let me put it that way. And I said, I went to 28th rather, not 30th. And I went into mission work first of the next month. It's not because I didn't even know I had anything calling or anything. But once, because I'm a child of God, that is a responsibility that I have. I don't even get the point. Just like you're in the family. Your father, you know, I shared a story with this guy, with you guys in the first service. One of my sons, you know, when I started pastoring, when I started Platform of Grace and all that, you know, I didn't go around telling people, see, I've started a church. No, I just stayed. If you hear it, fine. If you didn't hear it, God bless you. But then, this guy heard it and asked me, Papa, is it true that you started? I said, yes. And I said, that means it's our new church. So I told him, no, you don't do things like that. You should actually have to settle down. You have to pray and know whether God will have you. And he told me something. He said, it's only a foolish child that the father will pick up hoe and cutlass, that he wants to go to farm, and he's saying, let him pray to know whether he will join his father to farm. And I just laughed and I gave up. And that's how it is. You can't say, I want God to lead. I can't preach until God leads me. That's a foolish child. Say, if God has to lead me, I don't have a leading to preach. What do you have leading to do? To eat. You have a responsibility as a child of God. Now, I say this all the time in this church. We are not saying that everybody is going to become a pastor. That cannot even happen. But we are saying that as a child of God, you must make out time in whatever business you have to share the gospel with people. That is what God is living for. Did you hear what I said? That is what God is living for. That is what God exists for. The salvation of man. The salvation of man. You know, I shared this, I told you guys something in the first service. John chapter 4 verse 31. You know, people say, what do you think brings satisfaction to Jesus? There's a story here. Before I start reading, let me tell you the story here. The story is, Jesus and his disciples had done a lot of mission works, and they were coming back. They were tired. He was tired. And so he couldn't proceed. So he sat down at the well and sent them to go buy food for him. He was so tired that he sent 12 men to go and buy food for him. That was tiredness. 12 men to buy food for him. So you can imagine 12 of them walking on the road. And so why are you going to? So we're going to buy food. So when they, imagine they enter Spa, enter Genesis. 12 of them. Say, what do you want? He wants a plate of rice for Jesus. He was that hungry. So he felt one person would just take that. So all of you go. And so while he was at the well, he met that woman. Of course, we know the story that followed. You know, preached the gospel to her. And the woman, you know, went into the city and announced whatever. Now, meanwhile, the disciples, so when the man came back, they were now urging him, Rabbi, eat something. Are you here? See the next verse. The Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. So what do you think is this food? This guy that was hungry said, I have food you don't know about. Okay, did someone bring him food while we are gone? The disciples asked each other, now see the food. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment, my food, my satisfaction comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. So Jesus said he has one food. So people say things like, God doesn't eat food, he doesn't eat yam, the only thing he eats is praises. I don't know where we got that from. But we see God's own satisfaction. Jesus said that the only thing that will take away food from him or that can replace food for him is the work of God. And I tell you, friends, this is what matters to God. And because of this, you must get involved in this business. God is in a business, the business of saving men and turning them from darkness into light. And listen to me, friends, it doesn't matter whether you are just getting born again today or whether you are not even so sure you are born again. Whether you are still testing your born again ship. Right? Once you're a child of God, you have a responsibility to preach. He says, so what do I know that I'm going to preach? I've not even finished talking to myself. How many of you feel that way? Okay, you felt that way sometimes. Let me finish talking to myself. Say, well, it's when I'm fine. But that's not how it works. So. Because you have to realize that immediately you got born again, that spirit that is living in you has the capacity to change men. So what do I tell them? Simple. The things I told you a few minutes ago. That Jesus has paid for your sins. You know, if you don't know what to say, that scripture you know, for God so loved the world. That he, you know, that scripture is one of the most powerful verses. But once something becomes common, we lose value for it. Look at that verse. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world. Do you observe? It's in the past. God so loved the world that he gave. So how did God demonstrate his love for the world? He gave his son. That whosoever believeth in him, not whosoever fast and pray, or whosoever used to jump up and sit down, whosoever believes in him, will not perish. However, I say, like, preach this verse. You've done it. Explain it to the best of your ability. The Spirit of God that is at work in you will move to save that person. You have a responsibility in the house of God, and that is to save men. And that is to save men. So this must be your responsibility. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17 again. Let's read it again. Put up NLT. This will make more sense now. Put up NLT. Everybody look at the screen. We're going to read together. I want your voice. Okay. Are you there? Are you there? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Come on. Put some ghost on your voice. Let's start again. Has become a new person. The old life is gone. So who is he talking about here? The person that believes in Christ. Who is he talking about? You, right? Say it's about me. Okay, so let's continue. Verse 18. Watch. Uh-huh. So what task did God give you when he brought you back to himself? Reconciling men to himself. So who is the us in that place? Pastors? Ministers? Apostle, prophets, doctor, evangelist? Who is that person? Believers. Amen. Verse 19. We have a task of reconciling. For God was in Christ. Read with me. Reconciling the world to himself. No longer counting people's sin against them. And he gave us this. So if you don't know what to preach, we have a simple message to preach. God is not counting people's sin against them. He has given us the message. Friends, we have a responsibility to preach the gospel. And it is painful because we know that if we don't do this, you know the Bible said, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. Knowing that if you don't preach the gospel, people are going to go to hell. Let me say this to you. Good works cannot take anybody to heaven. I don't know what you heard before you came here, but listen to me. You think how God will raise people's going to heaven is how much good works have you done? Say you did this, okay, well, 70% A, go to heaven. No. There is only one thing that will take men to heaven, and that thing is faith in Jesus Christ. So what it means is that even if you are a perfect person to the last, and you've not put your faith in what Jesus has done, you're not born again, you will go to hellfire. And it's painful knowing that it is this easy to get born again, yet people are missing it all over the world. So you go out and you tell them about it. I get the point. You go out and you tell them about it. You start from your room. Just share with them the little you can. You don't know how much the Holy Ghost can do with those words you will speak. Don't know how much. Don't know how much you will do with those words you will speak. We have a wonderful task. We have a wonderful task of reconciliation. Romans 5, right? Verse 14. Romans 5, 14. Haya veratoya. Is it Romans? The 2 Corinthians 5:14. He says, Either way, Christ's love controls us. Watch this. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. Verse 15. Everybody pay attention. He died for all. So that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died for them. So the plan is that now that you are born again, you begin to live for Christ. You begin to live for the same reason he died. Why did he die? The salvation of men. Why should you live? The salvation of men. So God wants to save men through you. Are you getting the point? God wants to save men through you. God wants to save men through you. He wants to save people through you. The reason he died should be the reason you live. You get the point? The reason he died, forget what is happening here. Listen to the message. Amen? The reason he died should be the reason you live. He died so that men be saved. You should live to see that men are saved. And that is what we must live for. You know, I was sharing with the guys in the first service, Romans chapter 1 verse 1. Romans 1 verse 1. You see how Paul introduces himself. That's how I want to start introducing yourself from today. Paul said, this letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out. Put up NLT. Also, King James, rather. King James. He said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. You know, he said, sir, but I'm not called to be an apostle. Okay, fine. Let me agree. Remove that part. But you are separated unto the gospel of God. I told you guys, do you know what the word church means? The word church is from the Greek word ecclesia. It means a group of people that is called out. That are called out, right? Now, it means we've been called out of darkness. We have been separated. And this separation is for us to preach the gospel. If you are not preaching the gospel, you are not being a good son. You are separated unto the gospel of God. Proper Amplified. You are separated unto the gospel of God. Glory to God. He said, from Paul, a born servant of Jesus Christ the Messiah, called to be an apostle, a special messenger, set apart to preach the gospel. Some set apart to preach the gospel. So I have an assignment to preach the gospel. Everybody is not going to be pastors or be apostles, even though it will make sense if everybody is. Right? But everybody will not be. Some will be doctors. Amen? Yeah. Like, okay, Dr. John is in church, Dr. Eze, and all that. Some will be barristers, like some of the people you know in this place. Like Mona, like Casey, hallelujah, like Chimwanya. People are going to different things. Amen? Some will be engineers, even some that have refused to go to school. They will still be engineers and are in this church. I know them. Right? But you see, friends, say yes, daddy. You don't want to go to school. But you see, friends, the plan of God is that in whatever place you find yourself, you are playing a role in advancing the kingdom of God. You are talking to someone about Jesus. That's the plan of God. That's the plan of God. Now, I told you guys in the first service, a church strength is not in its sitting capacity. It is in its sending capacity. A church that seats 1,000 people and sends 10 people, their strength is 10 people. That's why in this church, we don't have like evangelism units. We can't have it. Because evangelism is everybody's task. Because we all received salvation. We all received reconciliation. We all received that ministry of reconciliation. So if you're not doing it, you are not living up to your expectation. As someone says, I don't know what to say. That's why we fix outreach events in this church. The idea is so that you come out. The first day you're going to come out, you don't know what to say. But shall come out. Just stay. Follow somebody. Let them be talking. You'll be watching their mouth. But you begin to learn. You begin to learn. Don't be a child of God for 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, and you're not yet involved in your father's business. That's an irresponsible child. It's just like coming into your family at 25, 30, you still lie down on the bed, cross your leg, and then they're bringing food for you. Daddy goes to work, mommy goes to work, and when fuel finishes the car, say, daddy, there is no fuel in the car. The worst is, are you a guy? No girl should marry you. Say, there is no fuel in the car. And that's how some of us want to live our life. We just want to enjoy realities in Christ. I'm righteous.
I have good health. Those things are fine. But there is more. As you begin to grow, and notice something I said in first service, as you grow, this responsibility grows. Do you observe that to your family? At a time in your home, all they want you to do is just stay with mommy in the kitchen. For the ladies. The ladies, yeah. Stay with mommy in the kitchen, add salt. Or sometimes go and bring salt. At the time they begin to tell you, go boil hot water. From there, boil rice. I'll come back and mix stew. I didn't get the point. From there, one day, they say, make the stew. And you surprise everybody. You shock them. But they'll still tell you to. You will now think because you cooked nonsense, they'll tell you never to cook again. They will send you back to the kitchen. Why? They want you to grow onto responsibility. And that's what happens in the house of God. You can't just come in here and just sit around. You must get involved in what God is doing. Your father's business. As you begin to grow, do you know if you get to a time, I was saying in the first service, if you get to a time, your mom can now call from work. I want to eat fried rice and whatever before I come back. And you just have to make it. It even gets to a time, you will be the one deciding what to be prepared in the house. She'll not ask you, what are we cooking today? You are growing. I don't get the point. You are growing. And I told you guys, the time will now come, and now is the time when you will not be the one providing the money for the food. What is happening is that the responsibility keeps growing because it should come with growth and you should enjoy it. Adulthood comes with responsibility, you know, right? They didn't tell you. And you are growing up fast. Glory to God. They now want you to do this. And it's just that same thing in the house of God. You can't just come in and say, all I want to do is just to be a normal Christian. And I told you, even if you want to be a normal Christian, it's okay to want it. But let me tell you what a normal Christian is. A normal Christian is the Christian that preaches. The Christian that is committed to church. An abnormal Christian is what you actually want to be. The normal Christian is on the streets preaching the gospel. The normal Christian. If you check the guys that Paul worked with, Luke was a doctor. Erastus was the city treasurer. You know what that means? He was the captain general of the state. They were his team. So don't tell me you're a politician. Don't tell me you're a doctor. Don't tell me you're anything. You have a part in this ministry. Share the word with someone. And I tell you what, maybe you didn't know before you came to this church. The word of God is in your lips. You will be shocked at what will happen then. You know, you open your mouth to share it. The word of God is in your lips. How many of you know you have the Holy Spirit? Okay, if you do not raise your hand, let me now tell you. You have the Holy Spirit. He says, sir, but I don't use to speak in tongues. You don't use to speak in tongues because either you don't want to speak or you've not been taught well. It's a story for another day. It doesn't change the fact that the Spirit of God lives in you. The day you got born again, the Holy Ghost came into you. Do you know why he came? Some of us think that the only reason we have the Holy Ghost, why we have power, is so that we can be claiming good things. In the name of Jesus, this resort is an A. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, prosperity is mine. It's beautiful to use that, but there is something beyond that. Acts 1 verse 8, you shall receive power. After the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, what will he produce? You shall be my witnesses. The purpose of power is missions. You get the point? The purpose of power is not to claim, I receive. No. The purpose of power is outreach. God did not just give us power to be claiming, I receive breakthrough. It's good to claim it. We did that last. We keep doing that. I receive breakthrough. I receive prosperity. I receive this. Fine. But beyond that, the ultimate purpose of that power is that you become witnesses of his resurrection. And friends, this is our assignment. As a son, this is your responsibility. So important that the last thing he told them before he left, he said, go therefore into the world, make disciples of all nations. And I told in the first service, it is called the Great Commission. And I say for many of us, it has become the greatest omission. You don't even remember it. You have an assignment, friend. little you can. The little you can. You know, the simple, from your dad, from your mom, from your siblings, from that guy around the street. Instead of saying, Tofiakwa, guy is living his life. People have spoiled in this life. Well, truth to people have spoiled too. But I'm saying you preach to them. You know, people have spoiled. You know, I was telling you guys in the first service, people think Nigeria is evangelized. And I told you that Nigeria is not evangelized. Nigeria is still a mission field, full-time mission field. If you look at what is happening in the world, you know this country needs Jesus. All over the place. And so you cannot keep short. You cannot keep short. The word of God is in your lips. He has given you a responsibility. So in whatever, and I tell you what, I sense this by the Spirit in the first service. I'm sensing it again here. God wants to raise people in different sectors. I am a pastor. I'm doing a job here. God wants to raise you in your classroom. God wants to raise you in the banking sector. God wants to raise you while you're in the hospital. God wants to use all kinds of people to reach all kinds of people. Let me get a point. And I want to tell you something, friend. You can begin to commit yourself to this in whatever, the simplest way you can. He says, Sabo, can't I just live good and change people with my lifestyle? That's not for today, but nobody change. You see, people can watch your lifestyle and want to change their own lifestyle. It is only by preaching the gospel that they will be changed, that they will really, really be saved. You get the point? Lifestyle doesn't change people. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Lifestyle does not change people. It is preaching the word that changes people. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in thy heart the Lord Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, he said, thou shalt be saved. So how is a man saved? Come on, come on. How is a man saved? If he believes in his heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. How is a man saved? Talk back to me. How is a man saved? By believing that God raised him from the dead. Now watch what happens next. Next verse. Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay, verse 11. For the scripture has said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 12. There's no difference. Verse 13. I'm taking it somewhere. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? I want to show you how salvation happens. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? So how does salvation happen? A preacher preaches, someone hears, he believes, he's changed. That is the way. I get the point. It's not by living, I'm just going to live a good life and they will be changed. No. Preach the word to them. While it is good to live a good life, your good life can challenge them and even make them want to listen to you. But good life will not change anybody. It's only by believing in what Jesus has done that a man will be changed, that a man will be saved. Are you still here? So, sir, I have a responsibility. Once again, I have a responsibility. I will preach the gospel. Say it again. Say it again. You know, some of you used to do this very well before, but you began to slack back recently. Pick up again. Many of you have never tried this before in your life. Start from now. Start from now. Start from now. Share the word with someone. People are going to hell every day. They are dying every day just because they've not heard the simple message of the gospel. And the problem is you have the message. Flood these streets with the gospel. Hallelujah. You know, there is something happening in Nigeria. A lot of youths are having issue with God. Have you observed? People have issue with God, have issue with his church, they have issue with pastors. Church is scam. Pastors are thieves. That thing is a demonic stuff. And that's why I'm going to challenge you. You that know the truth, share the truth. Don't be there arguing with them. Church is not scam. Because church cannot be scam. Jesus cannot go to the cross to die for scam. You know what I said? How can? He said all pastors are thieves. Have you met all pastors? Have you met me? Meet me. You see, it's amazing that all pastors are thieves. How many pastors have you met? And who even stole your money? The problem is that people that say pastors are thieves are people that don't give in church. The real givers don't complain. So why are you drinking headache? Or
God. This has to go on Facebook. Why drinking headache for another person's Panadol? Oh God. Glory to God. So why are you bothered? Are you the one giving the money? And you see, what I'm saying is an evil spell cast over. People are just saying, I don't believe in church. Let us start sharing. And sometimes, I don't blame them. They've not really heard the truth of the gospel. If we can make it go viral, more men will be saved than you know. More men will be saved than you know. All over the place. All over the place. And more, did you observe, I said this in the first service, did you observe that gradually people are beginning to practice idolatry in the open? Initially, if you're an idol worshiper, you are hiding. Now on Facebook, you can boldly say, I worship idol. I do ritual. I was telling you of the other lady that was selling, you know, that sells anklet, waistbeat, and see many people are there. Say, mommy, put me in your ritual. I'm not joking. I saw that 2 weeks ago. I said, now, wow. See the number of Nigeria needs the gospel. I know the problem. All those people are in church this morning. In the evening, they are putting them inside ritual. Because we've not really preached the true gospel. So will the real gospel please stand up? Will the real gospel just arise and begin? Because people need to hear the truth of the gospel. I get the point. They need to hear that salvation has come through Christ Jesus and he's no longer counting your sins. Many of those people doing this, I don't like church. Some of them are being hurt. Some of them are even feeling guilty of that. See, they feel this church thing is difficult, so they don't like church again. They need to hear the truth that it's not by their works to hear it. As I want to challenge you, friends, share the gospel with someone. That's your responsibility. And the second thing, then I close. Let's say 10 minutes and we'll close. The second responsibility of a son, let me come back to your family. First of all, I said in your family, if your father has a company, has a business, you must get involved in the business, and that's preaching the gospel. The second thing is, you must serve in your father's house. That's where we'll talk about things like, you must wash plates. Are you in the family as a plate washer? No, but being a son, you have to wash plates. So the Bible calls the church the house of God. 1 Timothy 3:15, it calls the church the house of God. And so because it's the house of God, if this is the house of your father, then you must find yourself serving in your father's house. Serving in your father's house. And whatever capacity you can. Serving in your father's house. At whatever capacity you can. Just like in families, you are taught. You cannot just sit down and not wash clothes. You cannot just sit down and not clean the house. You cannot just sit down and not do something. That is how it is in the house of God. You can't just walk in the church and say, I will walk in and walk out. I told you guys as a family that I want your family to be like. And it must emulate them. And that's 1 Corinthians 16:15. The house called the household of Stephanas. I like that family. Bible said they addicted themselves to the service of the saints. That's who you must be. He said, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the household of Stephanas. It is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. So, it is not outdated to serve in church, to sing in the choir, to serve as an usher. You are being responsible. You can't shout, God is my father, and then you are not even at home. Because I get the point. You're not even at home. Or you're at home and you do nothing. You do nothing. Do you know that even if you go to a place that is not your house, they expect you to walk? You know, growing up, we housed a lot of persons, you know. I started ministry at a very young age, and then they used to come to my house. My house used to be very full. You don't know what I'm not talking about 5 people. Sometimes 18 people, 20, 10 people in my house. I know I say it like that. Different people. My house would be very full, you know, those days. My family house. And I saw different attitudes. Different characters. And that's not how it must be. You know, there was a particular lady that came to our house one of those days to see me. And then, spiritual girl. First of all, my mom came in. She did not even greet. She was sitting down. We cooked in the kitchen, brought the food. She ate it. sat down there. We came and carried the plates. The next morning, she got up, lifted her leg, they swept under her leg, she sat down. I had to call her, Anne. You know, why is it sounding strange to you? Is it her house? No, responsibility demands that if you're in somebody's house, you should at least do something. You cannot do, now how can you now be in your father's house? The church. And then you are not even noticed. You can't even have. You see, let me tell you something. This is your father's house. God wants you to serve at whatever capacity, whatever ability he has put in you. Just serve. Do the most you can. It's your responsibility as a son. See the beautiful thing about this, friends. If you refuse what I'm sharing with you this morning, if you refuse to do it, you will think I will say God will judge you. He won't do anything to you. That's the beautiful thing about this. He won't do anything. Just like in your father's house, if you refuse to serve, they may flog you, but God, your father will not reject you. Even if he rejects you, his DNA is still in you. I don't get the point. So I'm not saying if you don't do this, God is going to deal with you or he's going to throw you away. I'm saying you have to do it because you're a son of God. So I'm a son of God. So I'm a responsible son. So I serve. Hallelujah. So get yourself into the church and serve. Be relevant. Be relevant. I share a story with you. I did it in the first service. The story of John Mark, and then we close. You know, you remember John Mark? Let me tell you who John Mark is. John Mark is, but the first place we see him in the book of Acts, we see him, you know, that time they arrested Peter, and then the church gathered to pray. They were praying in the house of Mark. So in his parents' house, that's where they gathered to pray. So he was a church person. So much so that when they sent Paul and Barnabas on a mission, they took John Mark along with them. 2 Timothy 4 verse 11. That's what I'm going to. They took John Mark along with them on that journey. But something happened along the way. John Mark saw something and ran away. Left the work, left Paul, left Barnabas and escaped. The thing so much pained Paul that even when he now came back to follow them, you know, this was the thing that caused the split between Paul and Barnabas. Some of you remember. When he came back, Paul said, this guy cannot go with us. This one that ran away, we can't take him. He was that bad. That Paul, the man of grace, could not show him grace. He was that bad. Glory to God. But then, many years later, the book of 2 Timothy was written. And look at what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, only Luke is with me. He said, take Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. The same Mark that was useless before suddenly became profitable. What I'm telling you is this, even if you've not been very effective before, you can start today. You can become profitable from today. You can burn from here. You can decide that I'll live my life for only two. There are two things that matters to me. That I'll preach the gospel and I'll serve the church. He says, sir, don't you want to make money? That one is just, let me say this to you. The major reason you exist is what I'm sharing with you. And I was telling them in special service, I'm not going to choose career for my kids. I won't tell them you must be a doctor. I won't do that. But I will make sure that whatever thing they choose for themselves, the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ must be prioritized. If they want to be doctors, farmers, fine. But they should know that there is an assignment. I've mentioned many guys for you in the Bible. You see Luke, the doctor. You see Erastus. I like Erastus very well because the guy was a rich man. I was showing you guys like last 3 weeks? That when you read the people, the likes of Daniel. You know Daniel in the Bible? How many of you know Daniel was not a pastor? When was I teaching on that? Yeah? Was it workers' meeting? Huh? Daniel was not a pastor. Amazingly, Daniel was a politician. He was a governor. That Daniel you see with all the exploits, all the vision, he was not a pastor. Joseph was not a pastor, nothing close to it. He was also a politician. He was a prime minister. But this guy served the Lord effectively. You see, this thing that makes people feel that there's a level you get to in life, you stop serving in church. That thing
It's just because you don't know God. You've not learned this. This has not formed in your heart like conviction. You will know. Daniel was not a pastor. Joseph was not. I can show you many of them. Erastus was not. The guy was a city treasurer. What that means was he was the accountant general of the city. That's a lot. Or the finance minister of the city, however you want to put it. Was the minister of finance for that city. And he was part of Paul's team for the work of ministry. And so you must addict yourself to this. I said what I said in the first service. Ask me what I think God wants to do in this end of times. God wants to build strong local churches and to send men forth from those churches. Two major things. He wants to build strong local churches and we send people forth from those churches. And you see, whatever makes you think that all I have to my own is I'm just a preacher, I don't believe in all this serving in church thing, is still very wrong. These two responsibilities I gave you are very important and are equally important. They're equally important. Why? Because like I said in the first service, without the local church, all the souls you are winning, they're not going to stay strong. I don't get the point. And I'd like you to know this, friend. Every you help set the speaker, you are assisting in someone's spiritual growth. How many of you know this? Every time you help set church up, you are helping someone grow. Every time you help sing in the choir, you are playing a role. Because once church is running, people are getting stronger. So get yourself into this work. God wants to build strong local churches. He wants to send men forth. So whatever capacity you can serve, addict yourself to the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has a lot for you. And you can even begin now to serve. The beautiful thing about this is, if you are poor, there is room for you. If you are rich, there is room for you. If you are educated, there is room for you. If you are uneducated, there is room for you. I get the point. And if you think you are the worst sinner, and I think that's where the Lord said I should close. I just got it now. If you think you are the worst sinner, there is room for you. Hallelujah. And I was sharing the testimony about Bakiliki Church. Some of those guys, some of the people I met there last week, man, some of them are new to church, but these are not churchy people. Some will tell me, sir, I've not been to church for the past 6 months. I've not been to church for the past 8 months. And these are the kind of people that Jesus loves. You know, he loves bad boys. Look at the people he picked among his disciples. The people you would never think you will work with. One talkative Peter. Praise God. He picked them. And so, I'm talking to that sister. I'm talking to that brother. Who thinks or believes that he has made too many mistakes and that this preaching thing is not for him. I'd like you to know that this is actually your thing. God wants you to grow. He wants you to serve. He wants you to get better. And it is for you. When he saved you, he forgot. He cleared the record of the sin. So you are the one remembering the sin. God doesn't remember it anymore. He said, I will blot out their transgression. He said, I will remember them no more. So go preach the gospel. You qualify. Get the point? Go preach the gospel. You qualify. Hallelujah. I say this to people all the time. When you see me preach, there is a tendency to believe that when you see a pastor preaching, say, this pastor, Kai, holy man of God. It's not always true. We are standing here by God's grace only. I get what I'm talking about. And you get what I'm talking about. I'm not telling you now, see, I've come to a level in my life where I can never sin. Nobody is in that level. Not even your pastor. And so if Satan is trying to stop you because you feel you made one mistake or the other, he has been lying to you. It's time to pick up and do something. The people that preach sinless perfection to you, tell you, you must get to a time where you no longer make mistakes. They are trying to stop you from the work. God wants you to work for him. And I tell you, you are qualified. He will pick a murderer like Paul. He will pick the unqualified and he will use them. So you have a responsibility. Start doing it already. You are qualified for this. You are qualified for this. You know, one of the newest testimonies we have in one of our centers, this guy was a called guy. I believe he will still listen to this message one day, and I'm very proud of him when he does. Was a cult guy with the Black Axe Confraternity, you know, and you know, doing whatever. And then somehow he met the gospel through the church. And in less than, this is amazing, this I'm telling you is not up to 1 month. In less than 1 month, the transformation is radical. You will not even believe he was ever there. At first he was afraid, what if they come and kill me? I told the pastor, tell him, see, nothing is going to happen to him. Even fear is afraid of fear. That's nothing will happen. Tell him I said. Praise God. He said, what do I say? Start talking in your shirt. Start carrying Bible. When they meet you, tell them boldly, I am a child of God. Are you what I'm talking about? I'm no longer who I used to be. In less than 1 month, everything has changed. It looks like they opened, and for many of you, God is giving you a fresh page to write a new story. I get the point. You can start off again from here now and step out and begin to share the gospel with some people. Do it with boldness. Begin to share the gospel. Begin to serve in church. Get into the work. God wants you. And I tell you what, friends, the Bible says, our chances of God. Know what that means? The Bible said he has made us able ministers. What that actually means is he has qualified us. So God finished looking after you and said you are qualified for the work. How dare you say you are not? I get the point. God finished looking at you and thinks you are qualified. I tell you, friend, you are qualified for it. You are qualified. So it's time, friends, to become responsible as sons. Preaching the gospel, serving the saints and the church. Serving the saints. And I want to say this as I close. This is the last closing now. And that's one beautiful thing I like about this church. I want to say it. You know, when you come into this place and you see people serving, naturally you will begin to think that these guys are always in church. They are riffraffs. Or these ones are unsure people. You come here, you find people who are professionals, you find people who are doing well in their different fields. If we don't begin to tell you that one is this, you will never know. And that's how it's meant to be. You are entering church, you leave your status at the door and you come in. So people are too anointed that they cannot clean toilets in church. What an anointing. They are so anointed, you can't sweep. Say, the power of God is working inside of me. It's not for sweeping, it's for healing the sick. Serve the Lord. We're going to do a song together and rejoice to it. This song that says, it is a great thing to serve Jesus. I don't know if you know it's a great thing to serve Jesus. It is a great thing. It's an amazing thing to serve Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. It is a great thing to serve Jesus.
It is a great.
I like you to sing it wherever you are.
To serve Jesus, it is a great thing. To serve Jesus, walking in the light of
it
God.
It is a great thing.
It is a great. Great thing walking in the light of God.
My life is available to you. Say holy.
Holy.
Sing with us from the script. Come on.
Lord, without you, your love puts me through. My life is available to you.
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 My life is available to you. Life is available to you.
Life is available to you, Jesus.
My life is available to you.
Lift your hands to heaven.
Christ is enough for me. Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back.
The cross before me,
the cross before me, the world behind. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back.
17 weeks, right? I would like you to decide that you're going to get at least 17 souls to Jesus before the end of this year. Don't just say you decided, write it. 17 souls between now and December. I get to the point. Decide I'm going to be involved in church to this extent. Make up your mind. Take up some commitments. I will be around in church. I will do this, I will do this. I will serve to the capacity as God gives me strength. This is God's vision. This is what God wants to do. This is being responsible as sons. So when we are singing, we've decided to follow Jesus. We are not talking about salvation. We are not talking about getting born again or anything. We are talking about giving your life to the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we've decided to do. Glory to God. So I will serve Jesus. So I will serve Jesus. Hallelujah. It's a great thing to serve him. I will follow him. No turning back. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. Hallelujah. And first up, to that sister, to that brother that came into this meeting feeling he or she was not qualified for what God has to do, I hope you now know you are qualified. So say with me, I'm righteous, I'm forgiven in Christ, I know who I am, I have an ability of God in my inside, I can do what God says I can do, I have what God says I have, I am who God says I am, I will do what he says I can do, I'm a child of God, I serve in God's house, I preach the gospel, I get men saved, somebody rejoice in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Amen!
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.